Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on program 214 in the WGN Radio Theater series. I am your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and very effervescent and dimply Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
We have Kasara Heining in our booth there. She is our producer on this show, and that means things are going to go smooth as silk because she is silky smooth.
And a little bit of fun as
she is a lot of fun, actually. We have classic radio shows for you tonight, and the good thing is we will be on the air all the way to 2 o'clock. No interruptions for any transmitter issues or anything like that. We'll have all three of our shows, The Saint, starring Vincent Price, The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix, and Suspense, starring Eddie Bracken. That is all the way to 2 a.m. We will be here, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress stars in the upcoming animated film My Little Pony, the movie about Twilight Sparkle and her friends who embark on a journey to the land of Equestrian.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this film.
Twilight Sparkle.
I'm going to be the first in line. In fact, I'll probably camp out two nights before.
Here's the thing. If your daughter wanted to see it and she said, oh, Daddy, will you take me to see My Little Pony, the movie, would you go?
Yeah,
so there you have it. Okay.
All right. So, what do they win?
Oh, they're going to win two tickets.
Yeah.
To see the play.
Yeah.
Still Dance the Stars, which is playing at Chicago Dramatists.
All right. The number to call to win 312-981-7200. All right. Here's a hint. This actress is probably best known for portraying Glinda in the Broadway production of Wicked, but this clip is from the movie The Boy Next Door. She plays Jennifer Lopez's character's best friend.
We come look at this picture and we know that he's a psychopath, but it's not the way the rest of the world's going to see it.
That's what you say to your girlfriends, right? I work with his psychopath on WGN Radio. All right, who is that actress? 312-981-7200.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play it again.
We come look at this picture and we know that he's a psychopath, but it's not the way the rest of the world's going to see it.
That's how I talk, too. Don't you just love her voice? There's
she's a cutie. She's a real cutie pie.
She really is. Well, Kasara took a caller, and we found out that Frankie called from Chicago, and she knew the right answer, that it was Kristen Chenoweth. Of course, she played Glinda on Broadway. And I saw her, of course, in New York in Wicked. And so, yeah, she's really
something
special.
Did she ask about me?
She didn't.
What?
She was on Glee. Did you ever watch Glee? Anyways.
Yeah.
Frankie's a winner, and she won two tickets to Still Dance the Stars. It's a world premiere play. It's presented by New Light Theater Project and Chicago Dramatists. And she won two tickets. She can go to chicagodramatists.com, look it up, get some tickets, get more information. So congratulations to Frankie.
All right.
It does end September 16th, so she'll have to see it right away, but it's a great play.
Excellent, Lisa Wolf. All right, so guess what?
What?
We have a contest going on right now, and if you can identify our favorite songs, Roger, Lisa, and my favorite song from 1976, you're going to win some Twilight Zone CDs if you're the first person that texts in. Now, the number is 312-981-7200, but guess what? Someone already text in and got Lisa's song right.
And true. And somebody got yours right, too.
What?
Yep, somebody has yours,
so
too.
So only Roger is left.
Exactly.
Boy, this is unbelievable.
I know. This is
All right, so we'll get into the Saints, and then we'll talk more about the contest. But, folks, already somebody's guessed my song and Lisa's song. Roger's song is a toughie. It's a tough song, Roger's song. I've never even heard of the song. But it's
Never heard Roger's song that you picked?
Yeah, but don't. Yeah, I don't think so. No, no.
Wow.
I don't think I. Well, when we play it,
I think you'll recognize it when you hear it.
Definitely.
Well, you're gonna recognize Vincent Price's voice right now as the Saint. This was a detective series created by Leslie Charteris, and in the movies, George Sanders was playing the Saint, and then his brother Tom Conway was radio's first Saint. But then a year later, Vincent Price took over and really made the role his own. This was billed as the Robin Hood of modern crime. Lawrence Dobkin was Louis, the Brooklyn cab driver that used to drive the Saint around. This show came to radio in 1947, lasted till 1951. Of course, Roger Moore played the Saint on television. Val Kilmer played him in a major motion picture. But we have Vincent Price in The Horrible Hamburger from September 30th, 1950. Here's part one of The Saint.
The Adventures of The Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Taxi! Taxi!
Among men who know locomotion best, it's Louis, 3-1.
Hello, Louis.
Hi, Mr. Templer. Climb in.
Thank you.
And whither can I waft you this beautiful evening?
Whither can you waft me, Louis? What's wrong?
Something has to be wrong before I use a poetical type speech.
No, but
there's a law which says cab drivers can't use good English.
Well, no, but
so whither can I waft you?
Waft me to Spring Lake Road, if you please.
Spring Lake Road? I never heard of it. You got nothing better to do than go around making up new streets?
Louis, Spring Lake Road is in Westchester.
Good. Let it stay there.
Louis, I want to go there.
Why?
I've been invited to dinner by some friends.
The food tastes better in Westchester?
No, but my friends live there.
Okay.
Oh, please don't sulk, Louis. Lots of people live in Westchester.
Lots of people are crazy.
Westchester happens to be a very lovely place.
Full of trees, ain't it?
But trees are attractive.
To who? Apes.
I'd better tell you how to go.
You don't have to tell me. I'll find it.
I know, but...
Listen, Mr. Templer, I'm a cab driver. Cab drivers never get lost.
Louis.
Don't say it.
We've just passed that oak tree on the left for the third time.
So it's an active tree.
I thought cab drivers never got lost.
Somebody swiped all the street signs.
From the trees?
So I got lost. So I'll turn my badge in. So my wife will despise me. So my children will go through life ashamed of their old man. So
Louis,
Louis,
it's 10 o'clock. My dinner invitation was for 8:30.
You'll never make it.
I don't doubt that, but I'm hungry. Next time you get to an eating place...
Don't say any more. Right up the road.
Oh, yeah. The Happy Hamburger. Ben Lawton, proprietor. It doesn't look very happy.
What has it got to look happy about?
I meant the place itself.
Yeah. So maybe it looks a little like if the wolf came around and huffed and puffed, you wouldn't have to strain a lung before it fell down. But food is food.
Yeah, except when it's a happy hamburger, perhaps. However...
Hey, it must be the wolf huffing or maybe puffing. Here he is.
Yeah, savage-looking animal. Yeah.
Some wolf.
Oh, the poor dog looks as if he hadn't eaten for a week.
Let's get into the joint before he mistakes me for a T-bone steak. Oh, I must have hurt his feelings.
Happy Hamburger is not having a busy night.
What can I do for you?
We'd like some dinner.
Well, we're kind of closing.
But you haven't closed yet.
No, I guess we ain't. Said anywhere. I guess the missus will dish you up some food. I'll go tell her.
a very enthusiastic type host.
Yeah, never mind that. I hope they have a well-stocked larder. I hope it further occurs to me that they don't have to go out and catch that dog before they have a larder at all.
Stop hoping. A man could get seasick.
Of course, this place may be an undiscovered gourmet's delight, but I wouldn't bet on it. Gourmet, who could have delighted in this place, is still undiscovered. What do you think of Mrs. Lawton's cooking?
Huh? I don't want to think of it. I'm trying to eat it.
You finished with your dinner, fellas?
The dinner is more likely to finish up. Oh, how about dessert?
Well, we got blueberry pie and we got huckleberry pie.
What's the difference?
Huckleberry pie is a nickel more.
Why?
Harder to spell. Which will you have?
Apple pie. What's the matter, Lily?
Dinner.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. However, we won't starve to death while you try to find your way back. I beg your pardon?
That wasn't me. That was a tiger.
No, I was afraid it was.
I think maybe... Yeah.
Flat?
Flat.
Fine. We're back in front of that oak tree again.
You keep your eye on that oak, Mr. Templer, while I get the spare.
You want some help?
No, thanks. I can do this. Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louie?
Come here.
Don't tell me you can't lift the spare all by yourself.
Oh, the spare I could lift, but there's something else. You see?
Yes.
A hitchhiker.
Man in his 40s, perhaps, dressed in farmer's clothing.
He must have got tired of walking.
Terribly tired, Louie. He got dead.
Somebody shoots a guy, all right. Maybe you don't like him. But why does he have to stuff the corpse into the trunk of my cab?
I don't know. There were no papers of any kind on the body.
All right, so he's a total stranger. But why are we heading back to the Happy Hamburger?
Because that's where we must have acquired the corpse. It's the only place we stopped. We're out of sight of the car. Unless he was already in the trunk before we left the city.
No. I checked the tires, plus the spare, before I picked you up.
Then it's the Happy Hamburger. The man was murdered fairly recently, anyway.
How do you know?
Oh, no rigor mortis, body worn.
Never mind. You know. I'll stay a dope. Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes, Louie?
What kind of a welcome you think we're going to get at the Hamburger?
It's hard to tell, except that it may not be a welcome at all.
It's dark. Looks like maybe they went out of business.
Yeah, there's a house behind the restaurant.
That's dark, too.
The Lawtons may have gone to bed. It's after 11.
It is very late. Maybe we should go to bed. Here comes the junior werewolf again.
Yeah, that animal should be fed.
But not by me. All the flesh I got, I need.
Come along, Louie.
Yeah, I'm coming. So is the hound of the basket.
Well, he's not bothering us.
So far, he kept his teeth to himself. Suppose he decides to risk a few and see how we taste?
Well, that's a chance we'll have to take. Well, here goes.
Don't look now, but our chum has left us again.
I couldn't be more pleased.
You know, if they're asleep, they're not going to love us with a great love.
And I'm not at the moment seeking affection.
Yes?
Mrs. Lawton?
That's right.
My name is Simon Templer. This is Louis.
What do you want?
You cooked dinner for us a little while ago.
So I cooked dinner for you.
Well, since that time, we've had a little trouble. We had a flat tire.
This ain't a garage.
I wasn't referring to the tire when I said trouble.
Why don't you say what you're referring to?
Well, I would rather your husband were here when I do.
He's asleep.
Well, he can be waked.
What for?
It's a matter of some importance.
You still ain't said anything.
The matter might be murder.
Murder?
That's right.
Come in. Wait in here. It's the parlor.
We shall.
Takes time to waken Mr. Lawton. He sleeps hard.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid it's necessary.
That don't make it easier. Seth, I'll get him up and dress.
I think the word for her is gracious.
Very few women are at their best in the middle of the night, Louis.
That's what you think. Would you like...
No.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Templer, you figuring the deceased we got in the cab was put there by the Lawtons?
Not necessarily. They did have the opportunity, but so had anyone else who might have been around the place while we were having dinner.
Oh, stop complicating things. It's bad enough. This is some parlor.
Yes, I've seen cheerier places.
You got a radio on? No television set.
Is that bad?
Well, Mr. Templer, what do you think of television?
I think of it as infrequently as I can. Mrs. Lawton is apparently having difficulty waking her husband.
From what we've seen of the guy, how can she tell when he's awake? At midnight?
What?
Ghosts take walks. Maybe our birds have flown the coop.
It's a possibility.
How can a bird fly a coop?
They're in here. In the parlor.
Mm-hmm. They can't fly a coop.
Hi. Hello, Mr. Lawton. You didn't have to bother dressing for us.
I dress for myself.
And don't go tracking mud over the best rug. Set where you are.
I'll set where I am. Wife tells me you're Mr. Templer.
I am.
She also tells me you got something to say about a murder.
I have.
Say it.
In a moment. Your wife and you own the Happy Hamburger?
You already know that.
I noticed quite some farmland behind the house. Yours?
Yeah.
You farm it yourself?
Pretty much.
Does that pretty much mean you have help?
Sometimes. Hired hand named Webster.
Oh, why only sometimes?
Well, he up and quit this afternoon.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, he'll be back as soon as he spends his money.
You might be wrong about that.
Always has before. What are you getting at?
Suppose we go outside to the cab, huh?
I don't mind. Come on, Emmy.
I'm right here.
What kind of a man is Webster?
Not much account. Works when he has to eat. Gets a full belly. Stops working.
A philosopher, perhaps. Ever have any quarrels with him?
I don't know, is he, ain't you, Mr. Templer?
Perhaps. But is there any reason why your husband should hesitate about answering that question?
No reason. No quarrels.
Fine. Louis?
Yeah?
Please open the trunk compartment, will you?
Sure. In a second.
There's something I'd like to show you, Mr. Lawton.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louis?
If you were planning on surprising anybody, give up.
What do you mean?
Look. Looks like birds can fly coops, only I picked the wrong bird. We have mislaid our corpse, Mr. Temple.
So it would appear. Strange.
Say, how about letting us in on this?
Mr. Lawton, was your hired hand a man in the middle 40s with brown hair and eyes of stocky build, a small scar under his left jawbone?
Hey, that's Webster. You must have met him. What did he have to say for himself?
We met him, but he didn't have anything to say.
All right, that is the first portion of The Saint with a horrible hamburger starring Vincent Price from 1950.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. I'm Carl Amari. This is the WGN Radio Theater. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. And we do have winners for my song and Lisa's song. We will talk about it in after The Saint. But nobody has guessed Roger's song, and we are asking our listeners to guess our favorite songs from 1976. And right off the bat, somebody knew Lisa's and mine.
That was fast.
Yeah, but nobody, and I don't think anybody's going to guess Roger's song.
And
because,
you know what, Roger? Nobody has guessed your song for any of us,
yeah,
if that's
I don't
a
think
clue.
Anybody's going to guess Roger's song because I think
I'm pretty safe this week.
I think about four people in the world have ever heard it.
Hey,
312-981-7200 is the number.
Carl generally has some choice words for Roger's song choice.
7200.
Four people know the song, and that includes three of the ones that performed it.
Right. And then one, and then a disc jockey from 1976 who played it. Casey Kasem, he played it.
Oh, Casey Kasem.
All right. So, but right now, we're going to listen to those songs in a little bit, but right now, the conclusion to The Saint.
We didn't start out being the great loves of the Lawtons' life. But I hate to think what they must be thinking of us now.
I hate to think of the missing Mr. Webster.
Yeah, he didn't even say goodbye. Mr. Templer, what happened to him?
I don't know. Corpses rarely are the active type, but the late Mr. Webster may have been an exception.
Exceptions like that, I hope, stay away from me. We're in what could easily be an overgrown filling station.
Nonsense. Slow down, Louis. This is Exbrook.
Oh.
Town nearest the Happy Hamburger. Place seems to be shut up for the night.
They didn't take the sidewalks in, though. Hey, up ahead, the Gay White Way.
The drugstore apparently still open. Let's stop there, Louis.
Okay. Yeah. Locked windows full of harnesses, fertilizer, and yard goods. How did you know it was a drugstore?
And there's a large sign advertising ice cream sodas in front.
Oh, well, that explains it. We're thirsty?
Only for information. Come along.
Come on.
Joint is crawling with juveniles. Now look at a jukebox.
Yeah, so it is. The waitress behind the fountain. It's too public.
The waitress?
The fountain.
Mr. Templer, I just noticed. Behind the cash register. This end. Look it.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Well, now put your eyes back in their sockets. She's dressed in gingham. She's wearing pigtails and big blue eyes.
She's merely the farmer's daughter, Louie.
Is that a fact? Hey, maybe she knows a joke.
Be still, Louie. She may be able to help us.
Is help the word you really had in mind?
Good evening, miss.
Hiya, Toots.
I beg your pardon?
So far, what for?
That farm ain't what it used to be.
Not to mention the farmer's daughter.
And who's the little stranger?
Who's the... Oh, that's Louie.
It's not bad either, but it looks married. Who are you?
I'm Simon Templer.
I'm Teddy, and what are you doing after I get through here? You married?
No.
What a coincidence. I'm not married either.
Well, it happens all the time, but what I wanted
was... Store closes in half hour. Tell me that.
My dear Teddy, I... Look, what do you know about a man named Webster?
Dan Webster?
I imagine so.
Hired hand out to the Lawtons?
Yeah, that's the Dan Webster I had in mind.
He wears a private property, no trespassing sign on him.
Oh? Whose sign?
Mrs. Lawton's.
How does Mr. Lawton feel about that?
Mr. Lawton has never seen fit to whisper sweet nothings in my shell-like ear. Don't you think they're shell-like? My ears, I mean.
I hadn't noticed.
Stop wasting time and do some noticing.
Look, I'm almost old enough to be your father.
Maybe, but you're not my father.
Good evening, Teddy.
So far, it's a terrible evening. Where are you going?
Louie and I have an errand to do.
My phone number is 137, in case.
In case of what?
Your errand is out of town. Goodbye.
Wow.
I'm afraid wow is exactly right.
Oh, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion they got something in these small towns up in Westchester.
What you mean they have is Teddy, and you're married, and we have an appointment.
Yeah. Where?
The Happy Hamburger.
You mean we're going to wake the Lawtons again?
I hope not.
Then what are we going out there for?
We're going to trespass on the very private property.
I ought to hang a sign with shuttle on it on my can.
No, I don't imagine we're going to be coming out here again.
You're not breaking my heart. You know, every time we come out to the Happy Hamburger, it gets darker.
I think I'll coin a proverb.
It's too late.
It's always darker before it's lighter.
I don't think that'll catch on.
Happy Hamburger's up ahead. Louie, we have a problem.
Oh, thanks for letting me. What kind of a problem have we got?
We got to find a pond, a brook, or perhaps a lake.
You got a sudden desire to go swimming?
No, not swimming. You forget something, Louie.
I always forget something. What is it this time?
Ponds, brooks, or lakes create mud.
Oh, thanks a lot. Tonight, I don't need any mud. Call me hypersensitive. I just don't need any mud.
You better stop the car under these trees.
Okay.
You know, know, about that mud, I suspect you're mistaken.
That's because you got a suspicious nature. Besides...
Well, we gotta get started.
Hey, we're heading away from the house.
Oh, true.
Why?
We're looking for...
I know.
And they rarely occur in houses.
Okay. Does this watery object you're looking for have to be any place in particular, or are we surveying Westchester County?
It has to be on the Lawtons' land.
Oh, well, that helps, yeah. Probably they got 139 acres. And in the dark, how are we going to search it? I understand hazel twigs don't work anymore. That hound without a home again. I hope he goes away.
Don't be silly, Louie. We'll want to meet up with him.
You'll do all the wanting by yourself. Why?
Because he's going to be a hazel twig.
What is?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wait a minute. You mean he'll help us find water?
That's right.
Well, what is all this excitement about water anyway?
Among other things, Louie, water washes away blood.
Tell you a secret, Mr. Templar. I never liked hikes.
It can't be much longer. That dog is definitely leading us somewhere.
Sure. Probably to a bone he buried last month.
He's done it.
Are you referring to the junior-sized lake?
That pond, yes.
Now what? Oh, fine. He went swimming. We gotta go swimming, too?
No, we can walk around the pond. We're at one end of it.
Yeah. And... Hey, look at that unground hunker hamburger has stopped.
Yeah, just beyond the pond in a small clump of trees.
We're joining him?
Of course, come on.
Why?
Because the land around the pond is muddy.
All right, so the land around the pond is muddy. This fills me with a great joy.
The dog's not moving. He's waiting for us.
Also fills my shoes with mud. Hey, you know what happens to trees when they die?
Yeah, they become telegraph poles.
Stop swiping my jokes. Hey, that dog is going nuts.
With joy.
What has he got to be so happy about? He hasn't even gone near a tree.
He's digging at the ground.
Oh, sure, yeah, that bone he buried last month.
Do you know what we're going to do, Louie?
I got an unhappy idea. We're going to copy the dog and dig.
Right.
I'm already looking for something to dig with. What are we going to dig for? Something the dog lost?
No, something we lost.
Mr. Templar, a couple of feet more, I'll be in China.
Oh, don't be silly. You can't get to China by digging straight down.
Well, you can't, huh?
Where you get is Australia.
Nobody ever tells me things like that. Hey.
What is it, Louie?
From where you are, you can't see. But from down here...
Well, I'll come to the edge of the hole. Well, Louie, we've kind of found that corpse all over again.
Tell that dog to shut up, will you? I don't feel so good.
Now, I'll give you a hand, Louie. Help you climb out of the hole.
Hey, that sounds like a car backfire.
Road's too far away. Never mind climbing up here, Louie. I'm going to join you down there.
Hey, what's going on? And I'm not going to like the answer.
Someone is having target practice with us for targets.
Ooh.
I could see a vague figure at the other side of the pond, too dark to identify.
Oh, there goes that hound that walks like a horse. Probably figured it was too crowded down here. Hey, Mr. Templar, I hate to mention this, but if the boy with the gun kind of wanders over here...
Yeah, I realize that. Louie, this grave we're in isn't level. The edge on your side is lower than the one facing the pond, which means you can climb out without being seen. Make for the trees, then for the road, your cab, and a few policemen.
Yeah, maybe so, but then what are you going to do?
Stay here. Otherwise, our gun-shooting friend will head for the cab, too.
But while I'm getting help, you are liable to be getting killed.
It's a chance we'll have to take, and believe me, I'm not taking it with any great joy, but we have no alternative. You better hurry.
Okay, Mr. Templar. But look, with the way the taxi business is... Be careful. I don't want to have to look for another fare on account of you got shot in the woods.
Well, it's been a lovely life.
Simon, what on earth are you doing down there?
What on earth? Teddy!
Is it fun down there? Because if it's fun, I'll come right down.
Teddy, stay where you are. I'll...
Hmm.
May not be very fancy down here, but it is cozy. Simon, you didn't tell me you weren't alone.
I didn't have a chance to. You better not look at him too long.
Simon, what on earth are you doing down at the bottom of a grave with Mr. Lawton?
He is Mr. Lawton, isn't he?
Well, of course he is. Why do you say it in that funny way?
Because we were supposed to think it was Dan Webster, except that I hadn't thought so, not for a while, and, he was murdered, Teddy.
Did you murder him?
No.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that, because you're very handsome. But after all, even handsome fellows shouldn't murder people. What they should do is...
Teddy, Dan Webster, along with Mrs. Lawton, murdered Mr. Lawton.
Well, that's not very surprising, because they did have a crush on each other, and nobody loved Mr. Lawton anyway.
They must have planned to leave town immediately after the murder, but, Teddy, did you happen to notice a dog about, not to mention Dan Webster?
I heard somebody running and a dog barking before I found you.
Hmm. Dog must have frightened Webster off.
So that's all right.
How did you find me?
I noticed your car outside the Happy Hamburger. I lived down the road a bit and was going home. So I knew you were someplace around. And when I was a little girl, I used to be a Girl Scout.
Because you wanted to learn how to tie knots or build campfires?
No. Because I wanted to learn how to track a man. I had a feeling it would come in handy. It has.
Did anybody call for a cab?
Louis. Oh, excuse me, Teddy. Hello, Louis.
Hello, Louis, he says.
I thought you'd gone to town for help.
I figured it would take too long. Figured maybe I could get behind the villain and surprise him. So instead, Mr. Templer, you surprise me.
To the hamburger again. We're hungry?
No, except perhaps for justice.
Simon, the Lawton's car is out front. Mrs. Lawton's in it.
Yeah, come on, into the cab.
Over this way.
And be as quiet as you can.
All right, Simon.
Quiet. You can't see us under the trees here. Turn your ignition on, Louis. Be ready to start the car.
Okay. It's ready.
Webster's coming out of the house. Carrying a couple of suitcases. He's getting into the car. There they go. Louis.
I know. Follow them.
You may not notice they're being followed.
Supposing they do.
Well, we'll have to chance that.
Okay, but look, I don't mind so much being shot myself. But don't forget, this here cab belongs to the company. I can't afford to get bullets in it. We're coming into Exbrook. What now, Mr. Templer?
Teddy, at this hour of the night, no one would be about, am I right?
It is kind of late.
The police station is where?
The next block.
In that case, catch up with him, Louis, quick.
Well, I should have a collision with him?
Preferably a small-sized one. You're a good driver, Louis. Run them off the road.
But the cab...
Never mind that. Hit them as soon as we get opposite the station.
Okay. I only hope it'll show on the meter. We're getting close to him. And here goes...
Going, Louis.
Oh, didn't even scratch your fender. Say, weren't those cops polite, which is very unusual, and...
Louis, be still.
Why?
I have to explain things to Teddy here.
From what I heard, she don't...
Louis.
I shut up.
Please, Simon, tell me.
Well, you see, Teddy, Mrs. Lawton and Webster planned to kill Mr. Lawton and then leave town, figuring no one would ever know.
How did they expect to get away with it?
Actually, their idea of placing the corpse in the trunk compartment of the cab was clever. Normally, the body wouldn't have been discovered for days, and then miles away from Exbro.
But instead, you got a flat and came back.
Ah, very lucky flat, but not for Mrs. Lawton and Webster. She got quite a shock when she saw our smiling faces, but she kept her head and sent Webster out to remove the body from Louis' cab and hide it. The only mistake she made was being too housewifely.
What do you mean?
Oh, when Webster returned, her instinctive reaction was to tell him not to track mud on the rug. If he'd been asleep in the house, there shouldn't have been mud on his shoes. Therefore, I concluded he'd been out.
I see.
And when the body was missing, I knew that he'd buried it. The mud also told me the burial place had to be near water.
And Mr. Lawton's dog led you to the burial place, and that's where I found you, Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
But we were kind of interrupted back there, so...
Wow.
Louis.
I'm not hearing a thing or seeing a thing in my rearview mirror.
Louis, we've reached Eddie's place. Stop the car.
Okay.
But Simon...
My dear, you're very lovely, but you're very young, so I'm afraid this is where the farmer's daughter goes back to the farm.
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, our cast tonight included Louise Erickson, Noreen Gamil, Arthur Q. Bryan, and Dave Light. Larry Dobkin was Louis. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The music was composed and conducted by Vaughn Dexter. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley.
All right, that is The Saint from September 10th, 1950, with a horrible hamburger, starring Vincent Price in the cast, Louise Erickson, Arthur Q. Bryan. You know who he played in the cartoons, Arthur Q. Bryan? He was Elmer Fudd. He was Elmer Fudd in the cartoons, and then Lawrence Dobkin on that. As heard on NBC, hope you enjoyed The Saint. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll reveal Lisa's favorite song from 1975. All right, well, you know what? We have a contest. We do this every Sunday. We pick a song, each one of us, Lisa, Roger, and I pick a song, and from a particular year. This week, it's 1975. Lisa,
No. This week is 1976.
It is?
It is.
Oh, okay, sorry. We just picked our songs for 1977.
We did.
And so we'll have that
for next
week.
Well, Roger had picked his last year before we even thought about the contest, but
yeah,
we're catching up.
Wait, I picked 77 already?
You did, and okay. 78.
Well, somebody guessed Lisa's song, and they've guessed my song from 1976, but they have not guessed Roger's song, and I don't know if anybody will, to be honest with you.
Nobody has even some of our songs, they've guessed it for the wrong person, but nobody's come up with your song.
Well, right. If anybody is on my Facebook page, not that I put anything there, but if anyone's been a Facebook friend for a long time,
they would know, right?
I think they might know
the
song.
That's a hint. And you're not supposed to give any hints.
I would guess this song is being Roger's song,
really?
To be honest.
All right, well, here's Lisa's favorite song from 1976. Lisa was a rocker, man. She was a rock and roller.
I'm not a rocker. I just like this song. I saw this concert when I was in college in New Orleans.
Really?
With a special boy with a friend.
Gee, you were with a boy?
I was.
That's Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night, Lisa Wolf's favorite song, 1976.
Yeah, and wait till she pulls out her leather jacket.
Yeah. I can just see her in a Kiss makeup, you know, sticking out her tongue real like real.
Well, it's almost Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. Does it have to be for
Halloween?
Simmons.
I thought you could do that anytime, right?
You should be Gene Simmons for Halloween.
Yeah, I would love that.
It'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sure I would look very attractive.
So here's the thing: someone did get my song. We'll play it in the next hour. Someone did get my song, but my song from 1976 is actually my favorite song of all time. Of every song that's ever been made, it's my favorite song.
That's
it's really easy to pick.
Big endorsement.
And so we'll just limp along and see if anybody can get Roger's song.
Limp along.
Just play Hop Along, Limp Along. I don't think anybody's going to get Roger's
gimp.
Song.
I don't know.
Nobody's going to get your song, Roger.
I think they might.
All right. Well, let's see. We have a break coming up. When we come back after the news, we have The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. After that, then, Eddie Bracken stars in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m., bringing you the greatest old-time radio shows of all time. In fact, we just played an episode of The Saint with Vincent Price, and there's a great picture of Vincent Price up on our Facebook page, Hollywood 3, at WGN Radio Theater. I think it should be Def Leppard because I'm going deaf listening to this.
No, it's Lisa's walk-on music.
This is a great song.
Is it?
I love this song.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you love this song.
It was a long intro. We were just getting into the meat.
It was not one of our songs from 1976.
No,
that's a clue.
Definitely not.
It was not Roger's favorite song.
No.
Missed it by
that
much.
Roger's a little more sensitive, I would say.
Yeah, really sensitive with his choice.
Mm-hmm. I'm very sensitive.
I will reveal my favorite song from 1976 because someone did get it. We'll do that in this hour, but we'll also play The Life of Riley in this hour with William Bendix as Riley. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama The Florida Project, about a six-year-old whose summer break is filled with adventure while the adults around her struggle with hard times.
Okay.
And the winner gets two tickets to Still Dance the Stars, which is playing right now at Chicago Dramatists.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Don't be a coward. Risks are part of laboratory science.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who that actor is? 312-981-7200.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Don't be a coward. Risks are part of laboratory science.
Vanessa, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
So who is that fine actor?
William Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe is exactly right, and we are thrilled to give you two tickets to Still Dance the Stars. It is a world premiere play. It's presented by New Light Theater Project and Chicago Dramatists. Performances end September 16th, so I hope that you can go and see that within the next week. You can check it out, get more information at newlighttheaterproject.com. Thank you so much for calling, and we're so glad you're listening in tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. We have a big winner. She won tickets. And you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
I'm wondering if we have... Nah, we don't have time right now. We'll do it after the first portion of The Life of Riley. We'll reveal my favorite song from 1976. The Life of Riley was a comedy show starring William Bendix as Chester A. Riley. And he played a very devoted family man and airplane riveter. That was his job. And Riley's frequent exclamation of indignation, "What a revolting development this is," became a catchphrase. You say that all the time, don't you?
No, but you know what I do say?
What?
Like, the life of Riley.
Yeah,
you're living the life of Riley.
That's another
catchphrase that still exists today
Absolutely.
In my vernacular.
Yeah. You have a very large vernacular.
Vernacular.
I will say that. John Brown played two roles.
That sounded bad.
His next-door neighbor, Gillis, and the town's friendly undertaker, Digby Odell. Paula Winslow was Riley's wife, Peg, and they had two children, Babs and Junior. It came to radio 1941, created by Irving Brecker, and it lasted until 1951. It transitioned to TV in 1948. The very first actor that played Riley on TV was Jackie Gleason, but then William Bendix took over for the last eight or nine seasons of that. Well, we have a very funny episode of The Life of Riley for you now from October 4th, 1947. This is called Old Age Sets In. Here's William Bendix in part one of The Life of Riley.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. During the many years they've worked at the Stevenson Aircraft Company, Chester Riley and his friend Jim Gillis have inched their way slowly up the ladder of success until they finally reached the bottom rung. But Riley and Gillis are big enough to place the blame for their failure squarely where it belongs, on their boss.
I tell you, Riley, it ain't right. 6 guys this month promoted to desk jobs, and we're still here in the riveting department. Why, damn it, not us? Didn't we put in as much hard work as they did?
Twice as much, Gillis.
Didn't we show as much loyalty as they did?
Twice as much.
Have they got more brains than we got?
Twice as much. When I think of how I slave for that Stevenson, I don't just do my own work and that's all. I'm worrying about every little detail in this plant. Why, if that time clock on that wall is 1 minute slow, I'm the first one to notice it.
I'm sick of this job, Riley. Believe me, I'd quit right now if I could live without eating.
Well, you could always live on love.
Have you seen my wife? I gotta have food.
Gee, how I wish I had one of those desk jobs.
Yeah, me too. That's the life. We wake on hard benches while Stevenson sleeps in a nice big swivel chair. What's he got that he should sit in a swivel chair?
Whatever he's got, I got more. Well, there's the rest period whistle, Gillis. Let's go for a smoke.
Oh, we ain't got time. We got to take our physical exam over at the plant hospital. Did you see the bulletin? Boss's orders.
What? Again with that physical? What nerve. All year long, he don't even know we're alive. And every 6 months, we got to prove it to him.
Come on, Riley.
Yes, me, it's a waste of time. What do I need a checkup for? I'm healthy.
How do you know?
Well, look at me.
I ain't asking if you're ugly. I'm asking if you're healthy.
I'm in perfect shape. Why, only last week, Digger Odell, the undertaker, saw me working out in the gym, and he said, I wish I had a body like that.
Well, you might think you're healthy, Riley, but when you get to be your age...
What do you mean, my age? I'm only 39.
Well, that's the point. When you get close to 40, you begin to slow down. Of course, you don't understand medical science.
Well, I suppose you do, Dr. Gillis.
Why, sure. Let me tell you what keeps you healthy. You see, everybody has got red corpuscles and white corpuscles.
Yeah?
And so long as the red corpuscles keep fighting the white corpuscles, you're okay. But when you get to be your age... Any day, some smart red corpuscle is liable to say to a white corpuscle, what are we fighting for? Let's be pals. To heck with Riley. That's all, brother.
Oh, I don't believe it.
All I say is you're getting soft, Riley. Soft. Your arteries ain't what they used to be.
Go on, I ain't worried. My arteries are as hard as a rock, and they're getting harder every day.
Oh,
Oh, Mr. Stevenson.
What is it, Millie?
Riley will be here as soon as he's through with his physical exam.
Riley? Oh, his promotion, yes. You think he'll work out all right at a desk job?
Oh, I think so. He's very conscientious.
Hmm. And how's Riley on brains?
Well, he's very conscientious. And he's been here a long time.
Yes, I think he rates a promotion. And his experience should be just right for what... Oh, there you are, Riley. Come in. That'll be all, Millie.
Yes, sir.
Well, Riley, have you any idea why I sent for you?
Honest, boss, I won't do it again.
You... You won't do what again?
Whatever I did that you're going to bawl me out for.
Oh, not this time, Riley. This is different. I'm promoting you.
Promoting me? Me? Are you crazy? I mean...
Oh, relax, Riley. I'm making you a rivet distribution clerk. And there's a $5 raise goes with it.
Oh, Mr. Stevenson. Gee, you're... And all these years I've been saying you... I take back everything. You are a human being.
Hello?
Hello, Dumplin'. I'm calling from the plant. Remember I always said someday the boss would find out what kind of a worker I really was? Well, this morning he finally did.
Oh, Riley, you were fired.
No, I was promoted a desk job with a $5 raise. I start tomorrow.
Oh, darling, that's wonderful. I'm so proud.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it when I get home.
All right, dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, wonderful little woman. She deserves a husband like me. I think I'll... Hey, Gillis, wait for me.
I'd kind of like to be alone, Riley.
Good, then I'll walk with you. Guess what happened? You know what Stevenson wanted?
I know.
I got promoted to a desk job.
I know all about it.
And you know how much raise I'm getting?
How should I know? I don't go around snooping.
$10.
$5.
I always said the boss was a great guy. You know, Gillis, you shouldn't go around knifing him the way you do. Yes, sir, this proves they pay off on hard work and initiative.
Initiative. Look who they promote. Can't even pronounce the name.
Well, cheer up, Gillis. Don't be jealous. Remember, I'm your pal. Maybe in a couple of years I'll make you my assistant.
I wouldn't want a job like yours for $1 million. You wasn't promoted. You was kicked upstairs. Get wise.
What do you mean? I got a desk job, didn't I?
Sure, that's the policy of the plant. When a guy gets so he can't do the work no more, they give him an easy job, out of pity. That's all it is, charity.
Oh, go on, you're just sore because I got the job.
Face the facts with your face. A, you got a medical checkup. B, the minute it's over, they give you a soft job. C, who had that job before you? Old man Bentley, 73 years old. D, and what's old man Bentley doing now? Waiting to get into the shady side home for the agent. Like they say in geometry, QED. Quit.
No, Gillis, you don't mean that I'm slowing down, that I can't work the way I... Well, you're ribbing me.
Steady, old man.
But it can't be.
Riley, I love you like a brother. Would I lie to you?
But it just ain't possible. Why I feel as strong as I did 10 years ago.
It ain't how you feel that counts. It's what goes on inside with them corpuscles.
Again with those corpuscles. It's a lie. I'm in perfect shape. You're just jealous. I'm as good as I ever was, and I'll prove it.
Hey, where are you going, Riley?
Back to the doctor. He'll tell me I'm okay. You'll see. I'll show you.
What a dope. Him, they give a desk job.
A sure care.
Stevenson's office.
Oh, hello, Millie. Listen, in case Riley should resign from his new job, will you put in a good word for me to the boss?
Who is this?
Gillis, Riley's best friend.
Is that all, Dr. Brady?
That's all, Wilkins. You can go.
Oh, say, Doc, could you tell me...
Where's the doctor? Oh, listen, Doc.
I'll be with you in a moment, Riley.
Oh.
What were you going to say, Wilkins?
Well, just, how am I, Doc?
Oh, don't worry about a thing, Wilkins. You're fine. Just fine. Perfect shape. Fine.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Thanks. Goodbye.
Listen, Doc.
I'll be with you in a moment,
today,
Riley. Hello, Mr. Stevenson. Dr. Brady. I've just examined that man Wilkins. It's pretty bad, pretty bad. Well, I'd suggest that you take him off welding and give him an easy job, something to keep him off his feet. No, I didn't want to worry him, so I told him he was fine. Goodbye. Now, what was it, Riley?
Doc, I got to know the real truth about my condition. How am I?
Oh, don't worry about a thing, Riley. You're fine. Just fine.
I'm fine, huh? Tell me, Doc, how long have I got to live?
All right, that is the first portion of The Life of Riley, October 4th, 1947. Riley thinks he may be getting old, was promoted to a desk job on this. So William Bendix, he's great as Riley, so perfect.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is 12:36. Thanks, Roger and Esmeralda. And we're listening to The Life of Riley. Let's go back to a broadcast date of October 4th, 1947. This stars William Bendix. Here's the conclusion to The Life of Riley.
A desk job? Oh, Mother, that's sensational.
Boy, a real executive.
And a $5 raise.
Hey, maybe Bob will raise my allowance.
I could use a new long dress.
Now, wait a minute. Don't start pestering your father for money. This new job's going to be quite a strain on him.
Well, that's right. He's never done this before. This is brain work.
So I want you children to make things nice and easy for him here at home.
Oh, we will, Mother. The minute he gets home, I'll bring him his slippers.
Yeah, and I'll smoke his pipe.
Oh, you will not. And listen, don't you say a word about the surprise party.
Surprise party?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Danny Greenberg phoned me. The men at the plant are throwing a surprise party for your father tomorrow night to celebrate his promotion.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The party's here, so I've got to get your father out of the house.
Hey, and then here comes Pop.
Oh, now remember, children, make things extra pleasant for him.
Hello, you great, big, wonderful man.
Hiya, Pop. We just heard the news.
Congratulations, Daddy.
What for?
On your new job.
Huh? Oh, that, yeah. Well, thanks.
Well, what's the matter, dear? Aren't you pleased?
Oh, sure, sure. I'm very happy.
Well, you sound... Oh, I guess you're just tired.
Oh, here, sit down, Daddy. You do look tired.
Boy, you're beat.
I'm not tired. You hear? I'm not tired. Anybody says I'm tired...
All right, so you're not tired. Now, come on, dinner's ready. Oh, Junior, dear, please put the chairs around the table.
Wait a minute. I always put the chairs around the table.
Well, I know, but let Junior do it. You take it easy.
But
dear.
I don't want to... What are you doing there, Babs?
Slicing the bread.
But I always slice the bread. Hand me that knife.
Oh, no, Daddy, let me. You rest.
Rest. Take it easy. That's all I heard since I got home. Everybody worrying about me.
Well, they're just trying to be nice, dear.
Well, tell them to stop being nice. I want to be treated like their father, not like a stranger.
Grouchy. Well, come on, sit down, everybody.
What's for dinner, Mom?
Well, we're having spaghetti. I got a steak for your father.
Oh, that's good. What kind of steak? Wait a minute. Why should I get a special diet?
Why, it's not a special diet. I went shopping late and the butcher only had one steak.
But why should I get it?
Well, gee, Pop, you're the oldest.
That's right. Rub it in. Well, I won't eat it.
What's wrong, Riley?
I won't eat it.
Oh, please eat it, Daddy. Steak's good for your red corpuscles.
Well, then I don't want it. My red corpuscles are too busy fighting. I don't want them to take time out for me.
Oh, Riley, what are you talking about?
I want spaghetti.
Oh, you just don't make sense. Now, you know spaghetti don't agree with you. You got to watch your health.
What's the matter with my health? What, am I old or something?
Well... Nobody's saying you're old, but, well, you're not a spring chicken anymore.
Hey, look, Bob, you've even got a gray hair.
A gray hair? Where? Where is it? Where?
Riley, not with the bread knife.
Use the scissors. Now, why are you getting so frantic about a gray hair? You got to expect it. After all, you're not as young as you used to be.
Well, who is? I mean, yes, I am. I'm just as young as I ever was, even younger.
All right.
I'm still full of pep. I can do anything I did 20 years ago.
I believe you, but don't try to prove it. I'd hate to see you try one of those flip-flops you used to do outside my house.
Oh, you think I can't? You think I'm too old, huh? Well, I'll show you.
But, Ronnie, don't you dare.
I'll show you. Now, watch this. Oh, my back. Oh, my back.
Oh, Chester. Oh. Riley, have you gone crazy?
It's happened. Peg, it's happened. They stopped fighting.
What? Who stopped fighting?
My red and white corpuscles. They've turned yellow. Oh, Junior, help me up. Help me up.
Riley's got the mistaken idea that the boss has given him a soft desk job just because he's gotten too old to do hard work. Well, he's keeping his troubles to himself.
Oh, Mother, there's something I wanted to ask you.
Oh, just a second, Babs. I want to finish reading this letter.
Well, who's it from?
The Shady Side Home for the Aged. Oh, this is wonderful. You know that old Mr. Bentley that our welfare league was trying to place in a nice home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shady Side finally accepted him.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, for heaven's sake.
What is it, Mother?
Well, listen to this. Ordinarily, this applicant would not be eligible, but in view of the recommendation of his former employer, Carl Stevenson of the Stevenson Aircraft... Well, I didn't know Mr. Bentley once worked for Mr. Stevenson. I must tell your father.
Well, why did they write to you, Mother?
Well, you see, I've been working on the case, and I have to bring Mr. Bentley to the home. Oh, put this over on the desk, will you, dear? I have to answer it.
Mother, don't you think Daddy's been acting very strange since he got that new job?
Well, yes, I guess he's nervous about it. It's only natural.
He flies off the handle at the least little thing. I hope he behaves himself at that surprise party tonight.
Don't worry. He'll be happy to see how his friends are all...
Peg, I... Well, what's going on here?
Going on?
Yeah.
Well, nothing.
You were talking. What were you talking about?
Why, we were talking about an old man.
Oh, you were talking about me.
You? Well, I was telling Babs about Mr. Bentley.
I don't want to hear anything about him. I want to know what you were saying about me.
Now, listen, Riley, you've got to stop this. Your new job's making a nervous wreck out of you. You'll have to do something about it.
You're right. I'm quitting that job.
What? Oh, no, Dad.
Yes, I'm going back to my old job. My head's made up.
Oh. But you waited years for this promotion.
I got my reasons.
What reason?
Well... Now I'm sort of an executive, and the gang won't shoot pool with me no more.
That's silly.
Besides, the $5 raise will put me in a higher income tax bracket.
That's even sillier.
I tell you, I've got my reasons. I'm going to tell Stevenson he can keep his job.
But, Daddy, you can't. Not after he gave you a $5 raise and everything. Don't you want to be a success?
No.
But, Daddy...
I said no. This is a free country, and I'm a citizen. And no one is going to take away my privilege of being a failure.
Is that you, Pop?
Yeah, it's me, son.
Something wrong?
Plenty. I got the meanest boss that ever lived. I told him I don't want no new job and I wouldn't take a $5 raise.
Honest, Pop? What'd he do?
He raised me $10. Some boss.
But, gee, that's wonderful.
No, you don't understand, son. You see, where's your mother?
In the kitchen with Babs.
Well, come in here where they can't hear us.
What's up, Pop?
Son, you see... I don't know where to begin. Look, son, every week I give you an allowance, don't I?
Yeah, 40 cents.
What do you do with it?
I spend 30 and save 10.
I'll try and save 15. Soon you may have to support me. And you will have to be the head of the house.
Well, me? Head of the... What's the matter, Pop?
You see, son, I've gotten old before my time.
Oh, you're not old, Pop. You're only 39, and you're young for your age. Everybody says so.
Yeah, they used to say it. I was very youthful. Like a few weeks ago when I made a speech at the parent-teachers meeting, I heard the principal say, "That Riley is so infantile." fast.
Oh, no, you didn't, Pop. You're just as good as you ever were.
Oh, Junior, we might as well face it. You saw me yesterday. I was too weak to do the flip-flop. At least if I could have done that...
Oh, you can still do it. You were probably nervous on account of Mom watching you.
You think so?
Why, sure. Come on, try it again.
Gee, if I could... I'll try it.
Attaboy. Wait, I'll move this chair. Okay, Pop.
Well, here goes. I did it!
Attaboy!
Now I'll do it again. And again!
Okay, Pop. Now don't overdo it.
Yeah, that's enough. Gee, everything looks upside down.
You're still standing on your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Junior, this proves it. I'm still young. I'm still young.
Sure you are.
Gillis, he's just jealous, that's all. And I had my boss all wrong. He really promoted me.
Why, sure.
Hey, I practically insulted him this afternoon. I better write him a note apologizing right away. Where's the paper and pen?
Well, there should be some on the desk there.
I can never find anything on this desk when I want it. It's always piled high with papers.
Well, it's mostly your stuff, Pa. I'll see you later.
Yeah, okay, Junior. Oh, look at this mess. An ad from a beauty parlor. Well, that's got nothing to do with me. Myrtle's Girdle Shop. That's got nothing to do with me. Shadyside Home for the Aged. Dear Mrs. Riley, the board has voted favorably. Application for admission. Shadyside Home for the Aged submitted by you. Recommendation by Mr. Stevenson of the Stevenson Aircraft. That's got nothing to do with me. Now, where's that writing paper? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful... The home for the agent. The Sadie, she wants to send me away.
Mother, I heard Daddy come in a little while ago.
I know, and his friends will be over at 8 to get set for the party.
Well, then you better get Daddy out of the house, but don't let him catch on.
Leave it to me. He won't suspect a thing.
Oh, Riley, dear, get your hat and coat.
Oh. What's the matter? Why are you looking at me like that?
Where are we going?
Well, I thought we might drop into the Rivoli. There's a picture there I'm dying to see.
Oh. Well, that's different. What's the name of the picture?
I don't remember exactly.
You're dying to see a picture. You don't even know what it is.
Well, let's walk by there anyway.
It's a trap. I know where you want to take me.
What are you talking about?
I ain't watching out of this house.
But Riley...
Oh, Peg, I never thought you'd try to do this to me.
You what?
So what if I'm getting a few gray hairs? Just because there's snow on the roof don't mean the fire's gone out in the house.
If you'd only tell me what you're talking about.
You know.
Oh, dear, I hope that... I'll go see who it is. Who's there?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, friendly undertaker.
Oh, come in, Mr. O'Dell.
Riley's cronies are waiting around the corner. Is the coast clear?
Not yet. Can't do a thing with him. He won't budge.
I'll budge him. I've handled cases like this before.
Well, he's in there.
You stay here.
I ain't going. You'll have to carry me out.
Please, let's not talk shop.
Oh, it's you, Digger. Go away, you're too early.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Well, I ain't fine. I'm so upset.
It happens to everyone. Why, only this morning, a gang of hoodlums pilfered a sign from a restaurant and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was mortified.
Well, why? What did the sign say?
Special rates. For large parties.
I got trouble, Digger. My boss promoted me.
Ah, I remember my first promotion. I was only a pallbearer at the time. My employer said, Odell, I'm making you head man. I like the way you've been holding your end up.
But this promotion ain't... Listen, Digger, would you say that I was getting old?
You old?
Yeah.
Why, that's the most ridiculous. Why, you're still as active as... Why, when I look at you, I... Come with me, Riley.
Come where?
For a nice, slow ride in the country. I have my vehicle outside.
No, thanks. I don't want to ride. I'd rather lie down.
I can arrange that, too.
I ain't going.
Oh, Riley, go with Mr. Odell. I'll go with you.
Do as your wife says, man.
Wait a minute. I get it. She put you up to this, Digger. You're trying to trap me, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
and
Riley.
I thought you were my friend, Digger. Well, I'm through. I don't want to have nothing to do with people unless they're on the level.
That's the only kind I deal with.
Riley, what's this all about?
You know, trying to send your own husband to the old people's home.
What?
I saw this letter here. You can't trick me.
What letter are you... Oh, Riley. Why, that letter's about old Mr. Bentley.
We're just trying to get you out because we've arranged a surprise party for you. Surprise.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You mean you ain't trying to get rid of me?
Of course not.
I ain't getting old. I'm still young.
As young as ever.
What a revolting development this is. I just can't say any more tonight, folks. Brooklyn lost today.
Next week, to hear the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp, Alan Lipscott, and Jack Brecker. Music by Lou Kozlov. Mrs. Riley's Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. Babs is Barbara Eiler, and Junior is Tommy Cook. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Brecker. This is Ken Carpenter reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. And listen again next week when Prel brings you The Life of Riley. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that is The Life of Riley, October 4th, 1947. Ken Carpenter doing the announcing, and that he had a great set of tools, that Ken Carpenter, you know? Hang on a second.
I did it for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a lot of tools.
You really hammered that one home.
Yeah, he hammered. He was the guy that you'd go and borrow tools from when you needed to fix something.
Yeah, he didn't screw around.
No, he really didn't screw around at all, right here.
It's only funny the first time, kind of.
Well, the first time you use each tool, I mean.
Yeah. All right.
What are we talking about?
Lisa has a co-host who's a real tool. I'll tell you that. Someone did pretty quickly identify. That's really attractive, Lisa. Lisa likes to chew things up and then stick her tongue out at me with it. Ugh.
It's very adult.
I mean, yeah, she is like such a child. You have
look
no,
who I look who I work
no
with.
You have no
idea. Roger.
The child, the child
it's too
that
dark.
She is.
I can't see. I think I'm glad I can't see.
I mean, whenever she has pretzels or something, she always likes to do that. And she, you know, ugh, it's disgusting. But, ugh. Gosh, Lisa, please. But anyway, I digress. I had someone pretty quickly identify my favorite song. And as I said, this is not only my favorite song of 1976. It's my favorite song of all time, and here it is. Song, Raj?
Always have.
Did you see the Jersey Boys? They've been
yes.
in Chicago many times.
How many times?
Many.
Comes into town.
Me too.
Yeah. In fact, I just watched the movie version a week and a half ago.
I interviewed them many times.
The Clint Eastwood movie?
Yeah. Not as good as the stage production, but still awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, great song. That's my favorite song of all time. It's called December 1963, Oh, What a Night, Four Seasons. Great song. I hope you enjoyed that. I gotta tell you, to me, that is like the greatest song ever.
It's a great song.
You know?
It's not my favorite in the whole world,
yeah,
but it's a great song.
Well, yeah, you visit other worlds, too. You visit
exactly.
other planets. I mean, she takes her spaceship, and she goes to Jupiter and Mars and all these. There's other songs there, so yeah, it's really not fair, really.
Yeah, different skill set.
Well, I'll tell you where that one has special meaning for me.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Because it was a top song when we moved into our apartment on Jonquil Terrace.
Uh-huh.
Right behind the Howard Street L station, the yard up there on the north side of the city, as I'm sanding the wooden floors. So there, it was playing. It was a top hit band.
Hey, that was a nice story.
Huh? Guys.
Why? I enjoyed
Thank
that.
You very much. What?
Thank you, Roger.
What?
You. I appreciate it.
What? You're welcome. What the? Remember that?
Wow. You too. Yeah.
At least you'd have to see Lisa chewing up pretzels and sticking her tongue out at you.
Back in the day, Roger, when Carl and I first started our radio show on WIND, I did a segment on a different show called What the? We were just talking about that earlier today. And it was just these crazy stories in the news. And it was called What the?
I don't even want to.
He doesn't
remember
want to go back there.
I didn't want to remember that time. All right, in our next hour, we will not only reveal Roger's favorite song of 1976, but we'll play Suspense starring Eddie Bracken in The Visitor from 1944, a great tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Welcome back. WGN Radio Theater, thanks for staying up late with us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday bringing you the best in classic radio. We've got a couple of great pictures posted up on our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. Just check that out.
And I'm going to post our favorite songs for the night. So if you missed one, I will wait till we figure out what Roger's is. But that way, if you missed one, you can check our Facebook page. And we have a great producer tonight, so we're happy and feeling good over here.
Yes, and Vincent Price is up there, also William Bendix. And then there's going to be a picture of Eddie Bracken in just a few minutes, because Eddie Bracken stars in an episode of Suspense in this hour, and it's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming crime film, The Snowman, about a detective who investigates the disappearance of a victim on the first snow of winter.
What do they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Very nice. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
All right. Who is that great actor? 312-981-7200.
So this is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Debbie, how are you?
Good. How are you? I'm a big fan. Every week listening.
Oh, that's so nice.
Wow,
we appreciate
Debbie.
That.
For years, I follow you wherever you go.
How many years?
Very nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Since Carl was born, maybe.
Hey, you know, Debbie, you know how long I've been doing this show with Lisa? Too long.
I
couldn't let him have that one. So, Debbie, who is that actor?
That is Val Kilmer.
You are right. Val Kilmer is the right answer, and you have won a Twilight Zone 4-CD set. It is produced by Carl, hosted by Stacey Keach, and those Twilight Zones are really amazing. So I hope that you enjoy them.
Yahtzee!
Perfect. Take care. Have a great night.
Thanks,
or morning.
Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Debbie's a big winner. She wants some Twilight Zone CDs. She's been listening to us for years and years and years, Lisa.
Well, we've been doing this for years and years and years,
aren't
Carl.
Aren't you sick of me yet?
Sometimes.
Gosh. I'm me, and I'm sick of me.
You know, somebody just texted, and I won't use the exact words, but he said basically...
My song
I'm
wasn't
guessing
good.
It's a guy. I don't know. I'm just guessing from the context. He said that you should be nicer to me and be more professional.
Right.
That's not the word he used, but I was being a little
They should know what it's
respectful.
Like when the mics are not on.
Really? What
they
is it like,
know, they
Carl?
Know
enlighten
mean,
us.
How mean you are to me.
Get out. I don't have a mean
she
bone in
so
my body.
She is so mean, and she sticks her tongue out at me with food on it
or
all the
are
time.
Are you lying
are you
live
post,
on the air?
No, see,
you're
going to
post that picture
she's
online,
She's so
too?
Mean. Actually, Lisa and I are the best of friends. We joke
Seriously.
Around in the air.
Yeah.
It's our shtick.
She knows that.
We're best buddies. You know
we've
that.
Known each other for about 10 years.
I know.
Lisa, I'm so sorry.
I know, and we wouldn't be doing this show together. If we couldn't,
I mean, all
know,
the people, and there's like 6 billion
right.
people in the world. She picks me as her best friend.
No, here's the thing. I'm the only one who gets along with him.
Right.
So he's kind of stuck. He's stuck.
Right.
He's got no
that
option.
May be
he has no
true,
choice.
Actually.
Because all the people that used to work for you have
gone
for one reason
They're all
or another.
Gone. They're all out of here.
And I'm still standing. Last
what?
Man standing.
How is that possible? Because she's the greatest. I mean, she's
determined.
The,
patience.
She's smart. She's talented.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pain in the neck,
yeah.
But she's really great.
Less of a pain in the neck than the others.
Right, you're less
it's
of
all,
a
It's all, you know,
yeah.
a continuum.
And and you're fun. You always make me laugh.
Yes, we do
you're
have
right.
fun.
And we're going to do another radio show together. It's called Listen to Lisa and Maybe Carl.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to do
I'm
it.
I'm ready too. To do that.
All right, you ready for suspense?
Always.
Let's go back to May 11th, 1944. After suspense, we're gonna reveal Roger's favorite song. Let's go back to May 11th, 1944 for The Visitor, starring Eddie Brack, and here's the first portion of Suspense.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you the Paramount star currently being seen in Miracle of Morgan's Creek, Mr. Eddie Bracken. Mr. Bracken appears tonight not as the exponent of comedy, as which he is so deservedly noted, but as a boy over whose head hung dark clouds of suspicion and who was involved in a particularly heartless crime. And so with The Visitor and with the performance of Eddie Bracken as a young man who called himself Bud Owen, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Hamburger steak, well done.
Plain of cat or crisp?
Right on.
It was around 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. I was right in my usual groove, counterman at Al's Coffee Pot, Route 22 out of Baltimore. Not a bad job for a green guy, $18 a week and my meals. But I was aiming to be a short order cook when I really got the hang of things. Of course, I'd only been in the diner a couple of months. Well, as I say, it was the usual afternoon, not especially busy, but busy enough.
No kidding, Mike. Where's that Westerman?
Hey, what do you have, mister?
Ham on rye and a cup of coffee.
Coming right up.
Ham on rye, draw one.
Look, kid, I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, what about?
Have you got a minute?
I guess so. Hey, yeah, I'll take the counter, will you? I'm going to have some coffee.
Okay.
So what's on your mind, mister?
I'm looking for someone.
Yeah?
Your name wouldn't be Bud Owen, would it?
They call me Bill Duncan around here.
That's not what I asked.
So?
I'm looking for a boy named Bud Owen.
Well, what about him?
Disappeared from his home about 3 years ago. A boy from my town. He'd be about your age now, about 18?
17.
That's it. Well, his folks have been worried sick about him. Everyone else gave him up for dead. Then I heard you were working here. Bud?
Yeah? Who told you?
No one told me. I got a note, anonymous. You didn't write it, did you?
No, I didn't write it.
You know, I think I'd have recognized you anyway. You're a lot taller, of course, and you look older.
Well, anyone would, wouldn't they?
Same ears, though.
I call them wings.
That's a good one. Know who I am, of course. Mac Burrell. Used to be chief of police.
Oh, pleased to meet you again, Mr. Burrell.
Well. Bud Owens. A lot of know-it-alls are sure going to be surprised.
Surprised? At what?
Why, to see you. Edgerton is certain to a man that you're feeding fishes off White's Pier. And when they see you, boy, I can't wait.
Look, Mr. Burrell, just what is your proposition?
Why, Bud, I want you to come home again with me.
Oh?
Of course, things have changed some in 3 years, but not too much. If you take it easy, if you have a friend to help you over the rough spots, you'll feel right back at home in no time.
I see.
This way, you're depriving yourself of everything a boy could want. Good home, lovely parents. Yeah. Wealthy parents.
You make it sound kind of nice at that, Mr. Burrell.
And Bud, did you know that your father has offered a $10,000 reward for anyone who finds you?
No, I didn't know that.
Don't you think you ought to come home, Bud?
Maybe I should.
And think of your folks. Think how your poor mother suffered.
Yeah.
Think how happy it'd make him.
Well, Mr. Burrell, if you really think it'll be all right.
Why, sure it will. It may be a little tough at first, all the excitement, people staring at you, but that won't last long. You got to expect some excitement.
Oh, I suppose it was an event having a hometown boy drowned.
Drowned, boy? They thought you were murdered.
And so began the series of events which was to bring a boy called Bud Owen back to Edgerton to take up a new life with the family which had believed him dead for 3 years. Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines present Eddie Bracken, whom you have heard in the prologue to The Visitor by Carl Randall and Leon Zugsmith. Tonight's tale of Suspense.
After I talked to Mr. Burrell for an hour or so, the whole thing sounded pretty darn good. I quit my job at Al's Coffee Pot the next afternoon and met Mr. Burrell at the station. We took the 5 o'clock train for Edgerton. On the way, Mr. Burrell gave me the lowdown on what had been going on in the town for 3 years. How the town thought I was murdered and how my mother and David Cunningham, my stepfather, just wouldn't give up hope that I was still alive. And he told me how my mother hadn't changed anything in my room. She was so sure I'd come back. Although she bought new stuff for the rest of the house, new rugs and a couch, things like that, Mr. Burrell described it so plain I could almost see it. Well, by the time we got to Edgerton, I was feeling pretty sad for my mother. And when I stood on the dark front porch with Mr. Burrell, it was a peach of a warm summer night. I thought if I could make her happy, even if it was tough on me, it was worth... Well, it was worth a try.
Brace yourself, youngster. This is it.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay, Mr. Burrell.
Is you Burrell?
Yeah. And here's Bud.
Bud.
Hello, Father.
Come in. Come in, Bud. Here, let me have this. Is your mother, Bud?
Bud.
Hello, Mother.
Bud.
This time it's really Bud, Judith. He's come back to us.
Oh, Bud. Bud.
It's all right, Judith.
Oh, my big baby. Why, you're so tall, I can hardly kiss you.
Well, now, come, Judith. Let's go into the living room. Come along, girl.
Oh, I always knew I'd be silly when you came back. Here, let me put your hair down.
Oh.
Now you look more like my Bud.
Gosh, I wouldn't have recognized this room. Isn't that couch new?
Mm-hmm. And the rugs and drapes.
I don't know how we'll ever be able to thank you, Burrell.
Well, I see, and Judith's so happy as a reward, you know.
Oh, yes, that reminds me. Drop into my office tomorrow, Burrell, and I'll take care of that other, more tangible reward.
Mother, I don't know how to begin. I mean to tell you how sorry...
Oh, don't tell me anything, darling. Nothing matters except that you're back.
That's the spirit, Judith.
Only your right hand, Bud. It's all bandaged.
Oh, that's nothing. I burned it while working in the diner. It's nothing, Mother. Oh.
Well, folks, it's been a long day for an old man. I guess I'll run along.
Right away, Mr. Burrell? Well, you just got here.
You'll be seeing plenty of me, Bud. Right now, though, you should want to be getting acquainted with your folks again. And I'll see you tomorrow, Dave. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Well, have you noticed, Judith, how deep Bud's voice is now?
Yes, it was just a little pipe when he left. But it was beginning to break, wasn't it, Bud?
Gosh, I guess so. It must have sounded pretty awful.
And he shaves, David. Every day, Snooker.
Well, gosh, not quite.
Really, David, I don't think that's so funny.
Well,
that sounds like Ellen. Isn't that nice? Let her in, David.
Yeah.
Ellen Woods?
Why, who else, Bud?
Does she live next door?
Why, of course, Bud. The Woods have always lived there.
Hello, Ellen.
Ellen, here we have such a surprise.
Angel, it's simply fabulous. Let me kiss you, you
love. Take it easy.
But, Bud, you're gigantic, irregular beanpole. Oh, Bud, I can't wait for Joe to see you.
Joe?
I called him as soon as I heard he's coming over here. It's all right, Mrs. Cunningham.
Oh, of course, Ellen. I'd forgotten. It'll mean so much to Joe. You know about Joe, Bud.
Oh, yes. Mr. Burrow told me. I didn't know before.
Yes, this town's going to have a lot to make up to that young man.
My folks wouldn't let me see Joe, Bud.
Yeah?
Well, naturally, they thought, after all, Joe was the last person who saw you, and then he, well, he admitted you'd quarreled.
But your mother and I never had a moment's doubt, Bud. Thankful for that.
Oh, that's Joe now. Joe, it's true. Bud's here.
Well, Ellen phoned. I ran all the way. She said... You.
Yeah, Joe, it's me.
Yeah. Guess it is.
Well, pal, I hear I owe you an apology or something.
Skip it, pal.
Joe, we know how hard it's been for you. Only now it's over.
Well, it didn't matter, Mrs. Cunningham. I learned to put up with a lot.
Yeah, well, Judith, dear, let's go upstairs. Let's give the young folks a chance to be by themselves.
Well, all right, David. But don't stay up too long,
no.
Bud. You still need lots of sleep.
No, I won't, Mother.
And don't forget to turn off the light.
No.
Good night, children.
Good night, Miss Cunningham.
Good night,
Mr. Cunningham.
Well, what'll we do? Cut a rug or chew the fat?
Suit yourself.
Joe, don't talk that way to Bud. You might remember he's my friend. He certainly was yours.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was.
Look, Joe, I can see how you saw at me, but don't take it out on Ellen.
Kindly don't stop messing between Ellen and me.
Joe, please.
Okay. Do I have to make a speech? So you're home now, Bud. I'm the last one to kick, but when you toss it all off by saying you owe me an apology or something, maybe it's not easy to remember we were friends.
I didn't know what to say.
I know I tried to remember we were friends, and the whole town was sure I killed you. I tried to remember when the draft board listed me as undesirable because they thought I was guilty. I even tried to remember we were friends when, for 3 years, people crossed the street so they wouldn't have to speak to me. People got up and walked out of the room when I came in, and then...
Gosh, Joe, I didn't realize that. I am sorry, Joe, honest.
Now, listen, Joe. You should be the first one to walk around the town with Bud. Right tomorrow morning. And if you'd both like it, why, I'll go with you.
Well, it's all right with Bud.
Oh, is it? Boy, I'm gonna need company.
Then it's a date.
Okay, No kidding, Bud. I'm glad you're home, fella. No hard feelings?
Oh, gosh, no, Joe.
So long, Bud.
Bye, Bud.
So long.
Bud?
Yes, Mother?
Are you coming up to bed now, dear?
Why, yeah, I might just as well.
You know, Bud, I've been thinking. The funniest thing...
What? What's that, Mother?
Do you realize you've never even asked about Trixie?
Trixie? That's right, I didn't.
After all, she was your dog.
Oh.
You know what they say about a boy and his dog. Poor thing, when you didn't come back, she just wandered off.
Gee, that's tough, all right.
And you didn't even ask about her. But I guess you can't be expected to remember everything.
No, I guess I can't remember everything. My mother kissed me goodnight. I went upstairs to my room, and it was just like Mr. Burrow told me it would be. Everything seemed to have gone all right so far. I undressed and turned out the lights, but before I got into bed, I locked the door just in case.
All right, we're in the middle of listening to a very, very suspenseful suspense episode starring Eddie Bracken from 1944 called The Visitor.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
OK, Okay, it is 1:36 in the morning on Monday morning, and we're going to listen to the conclusion to Suspense. Then we will reveal Roger's favorite song from 1976, and we have all of our songs picked out for 77 already. Oh, I have a great song for 77.
I bet you do.
And actually, you know what, Lisa? Your song is great.
Wow, thanks. An endorsement from you means a lot.
I'm telling you, you picked an awesome song.
How did Roger do?
I don't know what Roger's song is.
You don't remember?
Well, tell me later.
I'll remind you.
But my song for next week's like a 14.
Yours is the best, of course.
It's like a 14 on 1 to 10. Yours is about a 7.5. And then Rogers, I don't know. But yours
is
great.
But probably not very good, right?
Yours is really, really good. I like your song a lot.
Thanks, Carl. I appreciate that support.
And your song for this week, not that great. I mean,
well, it was great to me, though.
Rock and roll all night. I mean, that's okay.
You know what? It's going to the concert. It's the experience with the guy.
It's Four Seasons. I mean...
Oh, no, I love the Four Seasons, but I had a, you know, life experience with this song.
All right, let's tune into the conclusion now of Suspense.
Gosh, I guess I'm late for breakfast.
That's all right, darling. We know you needed the sleep.
Sit right in your old place, bud.
Yeah, sure.
Well, your mother and I have been mooning over old pictures of you, son.
Bud, except for the ears and something around the eyes, you've changed so that I can hardly recognize you. Look, here's the last picture before you went away. Why, it's almost frightening the way you've grown. Well,
Judith, dear, you wouldn't want the boy to be a midget, would you? Well, sure, he's taller, but look at the hair there and the way he stands.
I sure was a goon. Boy, you should have been glad to get rid of me.
And look, Bud, what else I found. All your school compositions from the first grade on. Here's one you wrote on Alexander the Great.
Ouch, Mother, don't be careless with those things. I'll die of blushing.
Why, Bud, I think this was very good for your age. You were barely 14 when you wrote it. See, it's marked B, so it can't be so terrible.
Your least little scribble is a great thing to your mother. Well, I'd better get off to the office. Drop in to see me if you have time, Bud.
Why, sure, Father, I'll do that.
Bye, Judith, honey. I'll be home for dinner.
Goodbye, David. Now, how about some hot coffee, Bud?
Yes, thanks.
There, Snooky. Bud, there's something important I want to discuss with you. It's about my will.
Your will?
Well, you know how your father, well, David, was about my money, Bud. He never wanted to touch it or even to have me put him in my will. He's so proud about things like that, and I do have so much more than he ever will.
Sure, I remember. How much money is it anyway?
Why, you know, Bud, there's about $150,000 your grandfather left.
Yeah.
Then there are those four houses on Elm Street that Aunt Carolyn left and the income from them. I haven't used any of it, so it amounts to quite a lot by now.
Gosh, yes, it must at that.
Well, after you left, even though David didn't want me to, I changed the will, leaving everything to him.
Why, sure, that sounds fine to me.
But now that you're back, I think the best thing would be to just turn it all over to you now. Set up a trust fund. You could use the income when you start to college, and later maybe you'll want to set yourself up in some kind of business.
But,
and I know it will please David.
But, Mother, gee whiz, it's swell of you, but don't you think you should wait?
Wait? For what, darling?
Well, until you know me better. I wouldn't know what to do with all that money, and I might mess things up.
Why, silly, the bank takes care of everything. It always has for me. Now, all you have to do is sign these papers here.
I sign them? But I can't, Mother. You see my hand, the bandage.
Oh, isn't that a shame? Yes, I forgot that you couldn't write.
Yeah, it'll be all right in a couple of days, so I can take the bandage off then.
Oh, somebody's whistling for you, Bud. My, that sounds like old times.
It's Ellen and Joe. They're going to take me around and show me the town. Well, I guess I have to face the music.
Oh, you know you love it. You're going to be a regular hero.
Yeah, but I don't feel much like a hero now.
You're really real, and you've grown, but divine.
Hey, you're choking me.
Oh, I've just been telling everybody you're back. It's too sensational. It's like having a new boy in town, and do we need some?
Gosh, I shouldn't think you'd have any trouble. Why,
You're cuter than ever.
Oh, listen to him. He's got a line. Gee, he sends me. Is that something?
The best thing you ever called her before was buzzard egg.
Well, gosh, I called her something beside that once in a while.
Well, you did call her Mary Louise.
Well, of course I called her that. Gee, it's swell to see you, Mary Louise.
Are you going to recognize me or aren't you?
Sure, gee, it's good to see you. How are you anyway?
Now, you're not too grown up to kiss old Mrs. Callahan the way you always did.
Oh, I'll say I'm not Mrs. Callahan here.
Why, I heated enough bottles for you and washed enough of your diapers, too, so don't let me catch you putting on airs.
No, ma'am, I won't.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What's the matter? Didn't you recognize her?
Mrs. Callahan? Oh, of course I did.
Why didn't you call her what you always used to? Couldn't you see she was sore?
Well, I did.
Bud, you used to call her Aunt Seeley.
Well, I couldn't believe it, but I daren't refute the evidence of my senses. It's the Owen boy, Bud Owen.
Well, I'm glad to see you, sir.
I just saw your mother. Heard you were back. She told me she was bringing you down to my office in a day or two.
Yeah, she told me.
Your mother's one in a million, young man. She thinks only of your welfare. I hope you've learned to appreciate it.
Yes, sir, I have.
Yeah. Well, I just want to check on the news. And no nonsense, my boy. You do as your mother says.
What did he mean, no nonsense?
Don't you know?
Well, I guess so. Mother told me she was going to take me down to the lawyer's office this morning.
Oh, Bud.
I've been waiting for you to outsmart yourself, and this is it.
I don't get it.
You sure don't, Bud.
Give him a chance, Joe.
Because it so happens that's not Mr. Reedy, the lawyer, but Dr. Sterling, the dentist.
I talked fast and Ellen took my side. And when we got Joe calmed down, I knew he was going to watch me like a hawk from then on. That afternoon, Ellen got the real snazzy idea of going to the beach. My father knocked off work and drove us down, sort of to celebrate my homecoming. It was really a hot day, so when we got there, the others made a beeline for the water, but I didn't because of my bandaged hand. I stayed around the beach club near the pool. When it began to get dark, we all dressed and went down to White's restaurant for seafood dinner. Then we walked out on the pier, the same pier where I was supposed to have been murdered. I remember I said something about taking the body back to where X marks the spot, and everybody laughed.
Isn't it heavenly out here?
Oh, gee, this breeze is swell.
Well, Bud, looks like you and Joe are right back where you were 3 years ago.
Yeah, I guess so, Father.
Yeah, this railing is just where we stood, isn't it? When you and I had our fight?
Yeah, about.
What's that phobia people have looking down from tall buildings? I get it looking down at the water from up here.
Oh, you shouldn't worry, Ellen. You swim like a fish. Now, me, I should really feel funny.
About ready to go home, children? I don't want you to worry you.
All right, Mr. Cunningham. It's been such a heavenly day.
Bud, wait a minute.
Come on, Joe.
Wait, a couple of things I want to talk to you about.
Wait a Joe, Ellen and Father.
Only take a minute. First, about your not being able to swim.
But, Joe, you knew about that. I never learned. That was why...
Sure. Everybody knew Bud Owen couldn't swim. That was why when you disappeared, they thought I'd pushed you off the pier and you drowned.
Joe, I don't get it. Can't you let bygones be bygones?
Bud Owen couldn't swim. But this afternoon, when you thought we were all at a good, safe distance, I walked up the beach club looking for you, and I saw you swimming in the pool.
But I learned...
And your bandage was off. Well, start talking. Or do I have to do the talking? To the cops?
Listen, Joe, you got to wait. You got to give me time.
Now, don't get me wrong. No one in this town would be gladder to have Bud Owen come back than me. After all, I've taken plenty because he disappeared, but rather than let Mrs. Cunningham be fooled...
That's what I mean, Joe. You got to give me time to square things, just a little time.
You better move fast, brother.
Joe, no matter what you think, you know I haven't hurt anybody.
No, not yet.
And if you give me time, nobody will be hurt. I went to Mr. Burrell the next morning and talked about everything, how people were beginning to make cracks about him and the $10,000 reward and the whole mess. I knew things were moving awfully fast, and I told Mr. Burrell he had to help me. That night when she'd finished her coffee, my mother said she was awfully tired, and my father, David, saw upstairs to bed. I looked out the window, and I saw Mr. Burrell's car pull up to the curb in front of Ellen's house. I knew he was going to do everything he could, but by this time I was scared. Well, at bedtime, my stepfather fixed some sandwiches and we drank some milk. Then he came up to my room with me and we sat down to talk.
Well, I see your mother's been changing your room around. It's not bad.
I guess women like to fuss around and so forth.
It's a fact. And there's no use opposing them.
I guess that's right.
By the way, what's your real name?
Bud Owen.
You don't need to be afraid of me. I've protected you so far.
Why have you?
I asked you first. What's your real name?
Bud Owen.
You're stubborn, aren't you? You know, at first I thought you'd work this little scheme out all by yourself, or with Burl. But there's someone else involved, isn't there?
Who do you think?
What about that bandage?
Well,
take it off. Well, 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 not even a scar. I don't suppose you'd mind writing with it now that it's healed.
No, I don't mind. What shall I write?
Well, suppose we take this little composition of yours on Alexander the Great. Would you copy this sentence, say, on the top of page 3?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, and to make it a fair comparison, write your name, Bud Owen.
Bud Owen. Here you are.
So she taught you Bud's handwriting, too.
Who did?
My wife. Do you think I didn't know what was going on? Every move she made gave her away. Why is she in such a rush to change her will?
I don't know. Why?
She thought she was being so smart trying to pass you off, trying to trap me. But I was one person who knew you weren't Bud.
Yeah, but what makes you so sure I'm not Bud?
I know. Isn't that enough?
I see.
I know.
I see. Well, don't you think we'd better get my mother in on this?
Yes. Yes, I think perhaps we'd better. She's asleep. We'll have to wake her.
Mother. Mother. Hey, she's... Mother! Mother! No! When I came to, I had an awful pain in the head. I was in my room in bed, and Ellen and Joe and Mr. Burrell were there. For a minute, I didn't know what had happened, and then I remembered. Mother, where's my mother?
She's all right, Bud. She's in the hospital. He gave her enough of those sleeping pills to kill a horse, but she's all right now.
How do you feel, Bud?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Oh, it's a good thing you had us standing by tonight, son. Why, he had you trussed up like a turkey. He was going to hang you.
Gee, Mr. Burrell, he must have been crazy. I guess he wanted to get us both out of the way before Mother could change that will.
For crying out loud, Bud, why didn't you let me in on this? I thought...
Gee, I hated to do it, Joe, honest, but I had to. Someone had to be the guinea pig.
It was my idea, Joe. I sent the note to Mr. Burrell. I really found Bud in that hash house.
Yeah, but if you let me in on it...
We knew if Bud could fool you. If you thought he was a phony, he could fool everybody, even David Cunningham.
You see, Joe, for 3 years I suspected that guy. He pushed me off the pier that night, but... I was only a kid. I knew it'd be just his word against mine, so I ran away. I kept putting off coming home, but I swore that someday I'd trap him, and tonight I did. Because he said he knew I wasn't Bud Owen, I knew that he thought he'd kill me.
You took one whale of a chance tonight, Bud. He'd framed you pretty. Another half hour, and we'd have found your mother dead, you strung up, and that suicide note you wrote propped up on the dresser.
Kid. A suicide note? Why, I just copied a sentence out of an old composition, something about Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great? Listen to this. It is terrible what awful crimes are done for greed and ambition. Signed, Bud Owen.
Sure, you see? I was just writing...
What? And I signed that? Holy...
Well, that's about all. I didn't know how my mother would take it, having my stepfather turn out to be such a heel, but once she got over the dope he'd slipped her, she was fine, as happy as a lark over me. Joe and Ellen, they got married but quick, and now Joe's in the Marines, and me, I'm just passing the time here in Edgerton till I'm 18 and my number comes up, and then maybe I'll see a little excitement.
And so closes The Visitor, starring Eddie Bracken. Tonight's tale of Suspense. Suspense is produced by William Spear. Before Mr. Bracken returns to the microphone, here's a definition of yourself.
Connoisseur. One competent to act as a critical judge of an art or in a matter of taste. That's what Webster says. So that makes you a wine connoisseur, because certainly you are competent to act as a critical judge of a wine's taste. Matter of fact, All you have to know to be a true wine connoisseur in the opinion of your friends and guests is a single word, Roma, R-O-M-A. To get the proof, make your own taste test of the tangy, appetizing Roma Sherry, the hearty, satisfying Roma Burgundy, the heavier, sweeter Roma Port, or any of the many different delicious Roma California wines. If your favorite dealer is temporarily out of the kind of Roma wine you prefer, ask for it again, please. Just be sure to say R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Eddie Bracken, and this is one of those nights I'll certainly remember for a long time. I've always hoped, A, to be allowed to play a real, genuine, dramatic role, and B, it's been an ambition of mine to get a crack at this show's suspense because, well, I think it's tops. The next two broadcasts in this series should be particularly interesting. I know I won't miss either of them because Orson Welles is going to star in that very thrilling story, Donovan's Brain, which will be done in two parts, one part next Thursday and part two the following week. And one more word, don't forget to buy some war bonds.
Eddie Bracken will soon be seen in Paramount's Hail the Conquering Hero. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Orson Welles in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's Suspense from May 11th, 1944, with The Visitor starring Eddie Bracken. Great show. As heard on CBS, sponsored by Roma Wines, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. All right, here is Roger's favorite song from 1976. Does this have a really long intro again?
He was sleeping before you played it.
Actually, this is pretty song. Sorry.
Even though Roger chose it.
It's gone from a 0.5 up to a 10.
Hall and Oates, right?
Yeah. When the significance feel of this? Cold,
your daughter.
But you spell it with an H.
And when I feel like spelled with an H. And this was one of the top songs when she was born.
What do you think, Nick? You like it?
Great song.
Great song, right?
Yeah. And me forever. First time I heard this song.
Yeah.
And then I saw Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that Daryl Hall was black.
Yeah.
He's got such an incredibly soulful voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. This is great. And they're out of Philadelphia. So I thought, oh, okay, there's another great black act out of Philadelphia. And it turned out to be two of the whitest guys on
the planet. I mean, like, they're, like, so white.
It's a great song, though.
Hey, you know what, Roger? I was giving you a hard time about this song, but now that I heard it.
Do I get a 10?
It's you know, I had it at 0.5.
0.5, right?
It's now 2.5. So that's pretty
good.
That's
about as high as you're going to ever get. So just take it and run with it.
I'll take it.
Well, good job. And we have all of our songs picked out for next week from 1977. Boy, I tell you, if you want to get into this, you know, if you want to be part of this, let us know.
77?
1977.
Yeah, I'd have to think.
Yeah, we'll show you the list, and then you pick a song.
Yeah, I can't believe that song from 76.
76.
Man.
You know what my favorite song from 76 was? December 1963. Oh, what a night. Best song ever. And Lisa's was Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss.
I denote some sarcasm.